Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in covenant with a God who can do more than your brain can figure out? I said, how many of you are glad you're in covenant with a God who can do more than your brain can figure out? How many of you believe in the next 6 months God could do something He's never done before in your life? That He can do something, increase you, and bless you beyond any measure you've seen before? Because He's able, because He's God, and because we're in a new season, we're in a new hour, and there's a fresh anointing. I said, there's a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. We were in India back in January, and the Lord woke me up on our last night, our last services there. We were at Rhema, India, ministering to about 300 ministers. Had a glorious time, and I had that afterglow buzz. You know what I'm talking about, where you can't hardly sleep, and you're laying in bed, and then I finally fell off asleep, and then the Lord woke me up, and the Lord just dropped this in my spirit about this year. He said, there's a new anointing. Everyone say, there's a new anointing. He said, there's a new anointing for a new harvest. Okay, I'm going to share that with the people over here and see if they get more excited about it. The Lord said, there's a new anointing for a new harvest. Hallelujah. Now, I've never heard a preacher ever say that. Isn't it cool when you preach something that no other preachers that you know of has ever said and makes you feel anointed? You know, it's like, wow, the Lord actually gave me that. But I've never heard anyone ever say that. But the Lord spoke that so clearly in my spirit. He says, get ready. There's a new anointing for a new harvest. You know, you don't have to turn there now because it's not the message we're going to go with tonight. But in John, the 4th chapter, around the 34th verse, it says, say not in your heart, there comes 4 months and then harvest, but the fields are already white unto harvest. And then he goes on to talk several things about that there are those who will labor, and then you're going to enter into the harvest, and you're the one that's going to receive the blessing on which someone else has sown for. How many of you would like to harvest this year something you had nothing to do with the seed? I mean, there's seeds of revival in the earth right now. I mean, seeds from Catherine Coleman, Marie Woodward Thedder, you know, people like John G. Lake and Jack Coe and Branham. There's seeds of revival that's in this earth, and there's a rain that's getting ready to be poured out. And in the rain, there's seeds that have been laying dormant. How many of you believe that there's a lot more harvest in New York and in New Jersey, in Connecticut? How many of you believe there's a big harvest yet to be reaped? But not only harvest of souls, but there's this harvest of blessing. I don't know exactly how to preach it or tell you, but I do believe that when the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, I don't believe that's for when we get to heaven. That wouldn't make any sense if it was for when we got to heaven. I believe that there's a harvest. There's a transfer of wealth even. There's some things that are getting ready to happen for the body of Christ, because God's going to see to it that His body is well funded. I heard all my life from the very beginning of ministry, God, He pays for what He orders. Amen. That ought to encourage somebody. If you're doing what God's called you to do, then, you know, stand. You know, the Bible says when you've done all the stand, stand. I want to encourage you, stand at rest and see God do it. Amen. I'm going to try that over here. I couldn't tell if y'all received that one. Just stand at rest. When he said stand, when you've done all, just stand at rest. You know, the military says stand at ease, sergeant or soldier. Just stand at ease, stand at rest, because we know we read the end of the book and we win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. But you know what? We need to act like we've won. Isn't it all right if we just preach a happy tonight? Would you all be on a Friday night? Would it be okay for you to just be really excited about Jesus and that you're an overcomer? Is it okay if we just, you know, just let you know some things that might just remind you of who you are, what you have, where you're going, and that you're going to make it? How many of you believe you're going to make it? Amen. You know what? There is a verse that I've been stirred up on. Turn to John chapter 16. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. But this is a really cool verse that I've just been stirred up on here recently. You You know, how many of you know that Jesus, He's the author of our faith, and He knew what we were going to go through? How many of you know He's not just the starter of your faith, He's the finisher. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. How many of you know He just doesn't want to get in the middle of your battle and just see you sink? Amen. He doesn't want to just go halfway. And, you know, when Jesus told His disciples, He goes, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. He was not planning on sinking in the storm. That's why He told His disciples when the storm arose, He goes, you know, He was sleeping in the boat. He was at rest. Amen. And so, you know, they woke up Jesus because they didn't want Him to miss the drowning session, you know. And so Jesus looked at His disciples. He says, Where's your faith? And in other words, I told you we're going to the other side. Did you not believe what I said? If Jesus is in the boat, we're going to the other side. How many of you know you got Jesus on your side? He's in your boat. You're going to the other side. But Jesus was saying here in John the 16th chapter, and I'm going to read the Amplified from verse 32. It says, but take notice, the hour is coming, and it has arrived when you will be able, or you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Then verse 33 says this, and this is the verse that I can't get away from right now. He said this, Jesus said, I told you these things. How many of you know that the Bible says in the 14th chapter that He said there come tribulations, there'll come trials, pestilence in the last days. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be troubled. Turn to the other neighbor and say, don't let your heart be troubled. But He said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And here's the part you're going to really like. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. How many of you would like me to read that last part one more time? You know, sometimes it just takes a little while to just get it bigger on the inside of you. It says, for I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. Yeah. And I have conquered it for you. So, you know, if the devil's been talking too loud, that means he's too close to your right ear and you need to get him back to where he is, and that's under your feet. And people say the devil's been saying this. Well, if you're hearing whispers of the devil, you need to get him much further down. Everyone look at your feet and say, hey, Mr. Devil, I see you're where you belong. Amen. You know, Jerry Savelle, some of you may know of Brother Jerry Savelle's ministry. He had a book years ago. I believe it's the name of the book. He said, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. How many of you ever got that book and read that book? I'm telling you what, that wasn't that a good message that the Lord gave him? If the devil can't steal your joy, do you know that the devil, he wants to rob you of the joy of the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not just confessing that the joy of the Lord is your strength that gives you strength. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't get joy from just confessing it, just like you can't just confess that, your strength is like the eagles and it will mount up. And, you know, just putting an eagle on your coffee table isn't going to make you stronger. He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It didn't even say that you'll get strength by confessing that the Lord is your strength. You know, some of us, you know, faith people, we learn how to speak the word, said, the Lord is my strength. You know, I'll mount up as wings of eagles. Well, you can't miss the first part. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagle. They'll renew their strength. So He said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how many of you could use some strength? You know why you're going to Starbucks all the time. You know you need your little pick-me-up juice or whatever. You know, isn't it funny how we're trying to get our go-go juice out of a bottle or a can or a shot or a pill when He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everyone say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not meat or drink, but it's peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Hey! Are you happy? You know, the devil, he'll try to, you know, steal that joy from you. There's enough situations going on. You know, if you only go to church and get pastored one message or two messages a week, but you listen to 10 hours of CNN news, you might be in trouble. Let me say that again. If you only get 2 hours of awesome preaching from your pastor and 10 to 15 to 20 hours of CNN, you might be in trouble. Because some of you, you know how you dust your Bible off, come to church. You haven't picked up that Bible, you haven't prayed in other tongues for quite a while. I don't look at anybody, but you know who you are. Amen. But I tell you what, thank God we can stir ourselves up. Stir ourselves up. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even pastor faith. Isn't that right? No, that's not work. Now that works for pastor. But if it's going to be in your life, it's going to be up to you. Because he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even everyone say, even my faith. So if you're going to overcome, which I believe everyone in this room wants to be a champion, how many believe you are? You want to overcome in every situation. And God's made a way. Jesus has already paid the price. He's not going to die again. Can you say amen? Jesus has actually already done everything he's going to do. And he's already provided a way of escape. He is a way maker. And he's already done it through the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. He already took the stripes on his back. He's not going to do that one more time. He already became poor so that you would be rich. He already provided all the grace, all the mercy, all the power, all the glory, all the miracles. He already did everything he's ever going to do about doing it for you. But he's saying, if anyone believes me, let him come unto me. Amen. Do you believe him?
Yes.
You know, I like that man in Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. We're going to get to a message here in just a second, but I'm just kind of warming up. But Mark chapter 9, verse 23, a man came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my son has a dumb spirit. How many of you fathers ever thought your son had a dumb spirit? Anybody here? Anyways, we won't go there right now. But anyways, he said, Jesus, can you do anything about my son? And Jesus turned the tables on the man, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's basically saying, it's not a matter of whether I can do anything. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to them that believe. Oh, I feel like I need to say that about 10 more times. All things are possible to him that believes. Come on, let's say it one more time. All things are possible to him that believes. One more time. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, the reason why you're not shouting about that yet is because you don't realize what he just said when he said that to man. That if any, how many of you know that God speaks in all inclusive terms? He never goes maybe, some, a few, 3 out of 5, 9 out of 10. How many of you know Jesus never talks like that? He said whosoever, whatsoever, anyone, all people. Just, you know, he's all inclusive. And so when he said all things are possible, in other words, he said, if you believe me, you bring into existence my omnipotence. Everything I am, everything I can do is available to you if you believe me. That's what he's saying when he's saying all things are possible to him that believes. Not all things are possible who mentally assent the word and believe that it might happen for a few people. And I've even seen it work for one or two. And I go to a church where I've seen some miracles. But he says all things are possible to the one who actually believes that all things are possible for you. That's why I said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Amen. But how would you look if you were actually believing him? Because you know how some people do. I mean, you would think that church, whether it's a Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, you would think church would be a time of great celebration Because we so much know that we're in covenant with a God who puts us over every time. And you are so grateful that you got out of your lonely, lousy, defeated life. You got translated out of the kingdom of darkness. And you've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And now you're on the victory side. Now you're under paths of righteousness. And you know that everywhere your feet goes, everything you put your hand to, you're going to be blessed. You're going to overcome. You're going to reap. You're going to harvest. I wish I had a friend in this place tonight. You're glad you came all the way over and you got in the house of great victory. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel some token praises going on, you know. You know how we do when we just, oh, praise the Lord. You know, and we you know, really don't have the real one stirred up yet, you know. Listen, I'm going to encourage you tonight, if you're just kind of used to giving a little token shout, just hold on to that one until a real one comes up, all right? I mean, just hold on to that little fake one that you try to put on, that just because you know that other people are watching you and you're in the house of the Lord, and because Pastor Sarah's over here tonight, the mom in the house, you don't want her not knowing you got your praise on, so you're going to go ahead and give a little shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, no, that's not, listen, I don't know if you can remember where you were before you were lost, defeated, without Jesus. I don't know if you can remember when you were broke. I can't remember when you realized you didn't know if you were going to get off those drugs and you didn't know how your family was going to get turned around. Maybe some of you are here where you can actually remember, like when I had asthma and I couldn't even breathe one night, and I took one breath. It seemed like it took 30 seconds. But yet, I remember the day when my parents came home and I was dying in the back bedroom. I looked like I was turning purple and blue, and my dad came in from the post office and said, "What's going on with Kevin?" And my mom said, "It looks like we're going to have to get him to the hospital or he's going to die right now." And my parents backed away from me. They put me on the dining room table and they said, "Either there's power in the blood or there's not." They said, "Either there's power in the name of Jesus or there's not. But we believe there is power. We believe in the blood of Jesus." And that day, the power of God hit me and I came to myself. Air filled my lungs and I was set free, and now I play the trumpet. And I've never had another asthma attack. Maybe you need to remember where you were before you met Jesus. But I want you to know I've got a memory, and there's something that stirs up in me when I hear those songs by Pastor Clint, and we see how good God is. It doesn't take me much to get my hands up. It doesn't take me long to get my praise on, because I got a memory. I can tell you what He did for me. I got a memory. So you hold on to that little token shout. That little one, it's like, you know how when, you know, the worship leader gets them and go, "Come on, let's really give them the highest praise." And you go, "Glory." You know, that sacrifice of praise, you know, when you're tired. Hallelujah. No, you need to dig up from down deep in you where that gratefulness. Did He do anything for anyone? Do you know that you're in the same room with God tonight? I said, do you know you're in the same room with God tonight? I said, do you know you're in the same room with God tonight? You're in the same room with Jehovah Jireh. You're in the same room with El Shaddai. He can supersede, reverse, accelerate natural laws for you. Hallelujah. Fallen off His throne. Amen? You know, we need to get professional at yielding to the Holy Ghost. 15 years ago, where this lady is right here, I was sitting right here. I'd already left Brother Hagin's ministry, sitting right there. We had been traveling, Annie and I, sitting right there. We came in on like a Monday or Tuesday night. Brother Hagin had already started the meeting on Sunday. Here we are, maybe Monday or Tuesday night. And I think you'll forgive me for telling you this, but you all were tight that night. You know what I mean? Tight, stiff. I mean, somebody needed to knock over a plant or do something. I mean, y'all were stiff. And you know, we had traveled so many years with Brother Hagin. And I'm sitting there, and I turn to Annie and I go, man, what's going on here? I thought, man, we've had mighty moves of God in this place. And I'm sitting right there, and I'm going, it feels tight in here. And the Holy Ghost said, get up and run. I said, what? Serious. Sitting right there, the Holy Ghost said, get up and run. I said, Lord, they're not doing that right now. They're really not doing that right now. Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, here's this big space here, and I'm thinking, which aisle do I run? You know what I mean? There's like, you have to have a road map in here. You know what I mean? It's like, and the Holy Ghost said, you need to get up and run. I said, Lord, it's so not that right now. Do you know that God, He's just looking for some help? You know, do you know that, I love this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You probably study the Weiss translation all the time. How many of you study the Weiss translation all the time and you know where I'm going with this?
Sure you do.
Okay, I'll just check it. The Weiss translation, now listen closely, it says, stop assuming an outward expression of one that doesn't come from within you and is not representative of who you are in the inner man. But change your outward expression. Change your outward expression. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, says, change your actions. Change your attitude. For an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Change your actions. When He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One translation says, change your actions, change your attitude, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. God wants to move into this place. He wants to move into your life. And it says, stop assuming an outward expression that doesn't come from within you. You know, people are always concerned about grieving the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't want to do something, I might grieve the Holy Ghost. More people grieve the Holy Ghost by not yielding to Him than they do by doing something that they thought they were supposed to do. Did you all get that? Most people grieve the Holy Ghost by not yielding and responding to a move of God and opening up their heart and just receiving and yielding and flowing. So I was sitting there and the Holy Ghost said, get up and run. I said, man, I can't even tell you how tired I am and how much I don't want to do that right now. And then the Holy Spirit said this, if you don't run, other people that need to won't. Do you know that your praise, you know, you go through the book of Acts, you talk about the corporate anointing. I heard Brother Hagin say year after year, the corporate anointing is stronger than any other one man's anointing, whether it's Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, whoever it is. The anointing corporately is stronger than any one man's anointing. One person can send 1,000 demons. Two people can send 10,000 demons. Well, do the math. Think about the power that can be released in this place. Do you believe that you're going to have an encounter this weekend? Oh, that's totally not good enough. I'm done. Annie, start the car. We're long. Leave. Are you going to have an encounter?
Yes!
Well, what does the you, the real you, look like? What's the real you doing? So I said, all right, here we go. Because I've been down the road so many times with the Holy Ghost. I know when He's not going to let up. You know, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. So you are a pastor, right? Yeah, I thought so. It's the my first service here. I don't want to be a false prophet, all right? So anyways, I'm sitting right there and the Holy Ghost said, He said, get up and run. I jumped over these two. I didn't even go down the aisle. I wasn't nice about it. You know, when you finally give up and just go with the Holy Ghost, you're not nice. I just jumped over and I ran straight up that aisle there. And all I can tell you, this place came unglued. There were people that was running, shouting, dancing. I'm telling you, it was a turning point in that meeting, and things just lurched forward in the spirit just because one person yielded. One person obeyed God. One person was just sensitive and just followed a little unction on the inside. What's your insides doing right now? Are you stirred? Do you have revival in you? Are you stirred up about the provisions of this year when Brother Copeland prophesied last November, I believe it was, in Washington, D.C., in that prophecy that he brought forth? How many of you believe in Brother Copeland's ministry? I mean, hello, we're all in trouble if you don't believe in his ministry. All right, we're in trouble. Anyways, he said, the Lord said to tell the body of Christ this. The Lord said, this is the year you've been waiting for. And then he said, God said, this is the year I've been waiting for. Come on now. I tell you, I've never heard God said, this is the year I've been waiting for. You know, I'm going to share this with the next church, and they're going to really get excited about this. So anyways, I'm looking for a church that will really hook up. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Jerry Savelle said, he was ministering in our church earlier this year, and he said, this is the year of fulfillment. God said, this is the year he's been waiting for. This is the year you've been waiting for. This is the year of fulfillment. This is the year of rewards for the faithful. There's rewards of blessing and increase for those who've been faithful. Hallelujah. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and get your heart stirred up that this is your hour, this is your time, and God could actually pull something off in these next 6 months, because this year is definitely not over by a long stretch, and get excited, let your faith be ignited, turn your amps up, and let your heart agree with God that this is the year some things are going to happen for you. This is the year that God's going to fulfill some things, and some things are going to take place in your life you've been waiting for, but it's been delayed, and it's been delayed, and it's been delayed. But all of a sudden, there's a suddenly. All of a sudden, there's a immediately. All of a sudden, there's a right now. Turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 5. That was my introduction. We're getting to the message part here. Look what it says here. Psalms chapter 5, there's some wonderful scriptures about David worshiping God. And David, who trusted God, he put his faith in God. You know, Isaiah said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, I asked the Lord one time, I was thinking about him, you know, conquering the bear and the lion. And I thought about him overcoming and taking down that great giant. I mean, what a cool time to have. I mean, wouldn't that have been something to see in person? And you know, David just, he's a little shepherd boy, but yet he trash talked this mighty warrior. I mean, absolutely got up in his face and said, "Who do you think you are? I'm going to have your head on a platter." You know, that's easy for us when we look at, oh, that was a cool story. That was an event in God. Amen. Not just a story. It was an event. But I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why did you do so many tremendous, why were you able to do so many tremendous, powerful, big things with David?" And all I heard in my spirit was, it's because he loved my presence. He just loved my presence. I don't know, sometimes when we come to worship, if we realize who we're talking to. You know, we get caught up in reading the screen. We get caught up in following along and clapping our hands and going with the crowd. We forget sometimes when we're reading those words that those, each one of those words are representative of a connection with Him. Hallelujah. So David here, he's talking about
praising God and putting your trust in Him. Verse 11, Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 says, But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor will you surround him with a shield. But he said, let those that put their trust in him to rejoice and shout and be glad, your King James says. You know, I can't improve on it. You know, all those years we traveled with Brother Hagin, but you know, he said this again and again and again. And there's just so many things that he said. And one of the things he would always say was, faith rejoices and shouts and is glad. How are you doing in that department right now? Because I have found that, you know, in the Word, the Bible says that dead people don't praise the Lord. And the Word says in Psalms chapter 30 that David said, I will not let my tongue be silent, but I'll give praise to His name.
Yes, 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 yes.
He said, for the Lord has turned my captivity, and I won't let my tongue be silent, but I'll give praise to His name. Those that put their trust in God, what do? They rejoice, and they shout, and they're glad. Romans 15 verse 13 says, now the God of hope, or your expectation, fill you with two things, joy and peace in believing. Everyone say joy and peace.
Joy and peace.
Joy and peace.
Joy and peace.
Say joy and peace.
Joy and peace.
Two things. Two major characteristics or signs that you're in faith, basically, and that you're expecting God, is that you have joy and peace.
Yes.
Listen, if someone's confessing the Word and they're wringing their hands, listen, they're not there yet. Joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace. I remember one time my pastor, Pastor Scott Webb in Birmingham, Alabama, Word of Life Christian Center, he said this, he goes, if it's not fun, it's not faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you right now. Because, you know, I've seen some people come into church, and you know that you ought to be rejoicing and seeking God and praising and worshiping the Lord and just, you know, getting your praise on at home, and then you come here for the big party. But as ministers, we watch you come in, and some of you walk in here like you got poopy pants. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. I know that's not real dignified and everything, that sounds kind of weird, but you know how toddlers are? You ever see when they have a full load? Come on. Help me out, Ralph. Come on now. Don't just sit out there. There you go. I thought you weren't even saved for a second. But anyways, you know those toddlers, you know, when they got a full load, they got poopy bears. I mean, some of you look like that when you came in here tonight. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you, not all of you, but some of you, and you know, Rodney Howard Brown had back in the early 90s, the Holy Ghost was using him with some Holy Ghost meetings. And I guess he had one hard service going on, and someone died in one of his services. And the paramedics came, and they dragged out 10 people before they actually got to the one who was dead. Some of y'all are going to get that tomorrow. Anyway, you know it's a hard meeting when the paramedics drag out 10 people, and they weren't really dead. Come on. You know the Pastor Gregory, help me out. You know the meeting's a hard meeting when they drag out 10 people and they weren't the dead ones. I mean, of all of New Jersey, New York, of all the surrounding counties, this ought to be the happiest, most joyful, most blessed, most favored. We ought to just be bouncing off the wall in our salvation. We ought to just be so glad tonight because we know God hears us when we pray, and we pray according to His will. We know He hears us, and not only do we know He hears us, that we know we have the petitions we desire of Him. Turn over to Psalms 32. Very similar verse. Some of y'all are going to find a little shout here just a second. Psalms 32, verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy. You seeing a theme here tonight? Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is from the upright is beautiful. Be glad in the Lord, verse 11 says, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy. I love something Smith Wigglesworth had been, you know, quoted to say, and that is, he said, some people would be faith giants if they only had a shout. Some people would be faith giants if they only had a shout. Now, Psalm 67, verse 5 says, I know you all know the scripture around here. Psalm 67, verse 5 has almost become one of my favorite verses. But it says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Notice it says all. I said, notice it says all. He said, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then something's going to happen. Something's going to happen after that. After people get the praise on, something is going to happen after that. When people actually start rejoicing and praising and shouting, he said, when the people lift up their voice and they praise God, he said, something's about to happen. Does anybody want to tell me what he's... He said, then the earth shall do what? Oh, it sure would be nice if the word was true. Wouldn't it be something if the word was true? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could actually have confidence in the Word of God? Can you just imagine that this could actually be true? You don't really believe it, do you? You mean to tell me you really believe that simply by praising God, the earth is going to have to give up increase and harvest that is available on this earth? Some harvest, because there's a new anointing for a new harvest, you see. Because you got a new anointing this year for a new... You actually believe that just because you praise God for what you can't see, He'll let you see it. When you don't know where it's going to come from, you don't know which avenue, you don't know how He could ever pull it off, you just know that you're in covenant with a God who can do more than your brain can figure out. You know that you're in covenant with a God who makes all things possible. And He said, all you got to do is praise Him. Oh, that cannot be true. Surely that cannot be true. Surely this could not be true, that you can praise God. And God said, I got to give it up. I got to give it up. Could that possibly be true? Can't swear by any other oath or any other covenant, so I gotta swear by my own word. I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'll do it. If I spoken it, I will make it good. He doesn't just tell the truth. He is truth. Hallelujah. And He's your God. And He's not changing. He's not changing. He's not backing off. He's not going to back down. How many of you know the devil's a liar, liar, pants on fire? You know he's trying to tell you the word's not working. Let me give you a word tonight. It's impossible for the word not to work. I need to say that again because it feels really good. It's impossible for the word not to work. Some of you need to get that
in here really deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's impossible for the word not to work. How many of you ever watched that show, America's Funniest Videos? If you watch that show, you've seen all of our neighbors down in Alabama. Because that's where we're from. Those are the people in our backyard, okay? You all can sit down. You ever see, there was this one show where this couple was at the altar. And they call him the Old Glory Man. How many of you saw the Old Glory Man? Who, by the way, won $100,000 for praising God on national television. Because he's at the altar, and the priest is leading him through their vows. And the priest goes, would you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? And she goes, lawful wedded husband. And he goes, I do. And then he's getting ready to hear her finally say, I do. Now, I'm trying to keep this PG-13, all right? But this guy must have been really excited, and he might have been thinking about what was coming, you know, later, future presentation. I don't know. All right, don't look at me like that, Pastor Greg. But he must have been getting excited as this is finally happening for him. And so he's standing up there, and he's going, ooh, glory. Ooh, 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 ooh. How many of you saw this show? So you know I'm not making this up, right? He's going, ooh. You know, he even had the funky chicken going. You know the Pentecostal chicken? Kind of, how many of you remember Marty Blackwelder with Ramus? You know, he had one of those funky chickens going, you know. And he was, ooh, ooh. And so the priest goes, will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? And when she said, I do, he goes, ah! Glory to God! He won the $100,000. Why? He praised God. The earth gave up its increase. I'm sure when he was doing that uninhibitedly and unembarrassed, not embarrassed. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. You know, if you're going to really get it with God, you're going to get jiggy with Him. I'm sorry I went that far old school. That was a Will Smith 20 years ago. I'm sorry I did that. I apologize. But if you're going to really hook up with God, you're going to have to get enthusiastic with Him. You're going to have to get your praise on. Instead of looking like you just came out of a funeral. Now, when I point to you, you're going to run, all right? Just get ready. Any time now. It's coming. I can tell you it's all over you, right? All right. Praise the Lord. You know, one time I woke up early in the morning, which I've had more things happen to me in the nighttime or right before I woke up. We're just given to that ministry where we have dreams, spiritual dreams and that sort of thing. And I woke up and It wasn't a good spiritual dream. It was demonic. And I had probably the biggest attack I've ever had in my life. I mean, most people don't know it, but Brother Hagin wanted to leave 10, 15 years from this earth before he left. People like Patsy Caminiti talked him out of it, prayed him through it. You know, when you're the head of a large ministry, it is lonely at the top. When everyone's looking to you, you're the voice. I mean, to carry such a big mantle and a big stick, it's weighty. And I just remember waking up and I just thought, man, I'm just so tired of the fight. Man, I wish I could just get out of here somehow. If there was a way to get out, and I never seriously gave any thought to committing suicide, but I just thought, you know, I know of, you know, if you're going to leave this earth, there is a dying by faith and giving up the ghost. I believe your exit can be glorious if you know how to have that intimacy with God, and it can be sweet.
And it takes faith. Most people can't even go in peace because there's so much fear and the unknown of their future because they don't really know Him. But when you really know Him, you can have peace. Amen? And so I just remember waking up and I just thought, man, you know, I think we don't owe any man anything. Of course, we had mega credit card debts. Don't look at me that way. You know you've been there. Anybody here absolutely 100% debt-free? Anybody here? Glory to God. I so rejoice and want to be like you. And I mean that with all my heart. And you know what? I believe very soon I'm really close to that. I'm very close to being a multimillionaire. And because, see, I have actually bought into, thanks sis, I've actually bought into that I can too be very wealthy without doing it with your offerings. I mean, your offerings, I mean, just being honest to goodness, your offerings are wonderful, especially at this church. But basic offerings come into our ministry, basically just barely put our ministry over. And then partners to our ministry helps us go to the nations. But trust me, it's not getting most ministers rich at all. You just either believe that or not. I'm just shooting straight. I'm a straight shooter. I'm an open book. You ask these pastors right here, man. I'll tell you, man, Kevin, he talks about everything. But I don't know, but I can't talk for other people, but we're not getting rich on offerings. But I know the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, and the Holy Ghost said through Brother Hagin, if you learn how to follow my spirit, He said, I'll make you rich. Well, that's my spiritual dad talking. So I believe if Dad can do it, I can do it. If Pastor Sarah can do it, I can do it. She's saying I'm debt free. If she can, Mama can do it, I can do it. How many believe you can do it? I was just recently at a church and the pastor made a comment. He meant it. He said, he said, we're not just believing for millionaires to come in this church. He goes, that's why I'm teaching you. So that he goes, you're the next millionaires. And there was chuckles. They laughed about it. And I'm sitting there going, that's a shame. They don't get it yet. I've had it prophesied. But I tell you what, you know, that I'll be a millionaire. And I tell you, my head has argued with that. But my head's not arguing at all with that right now. And we've done some things by the leading of the Holy Ghost that if everything just goes the way it's going to go, it's going to be wild and fun. And the thing is, the Holy Ghost wants to do stuff for all of us. Don't let the devil tell you for one more second you're not a candidate for all the blessings. Don't let him tell you that one more second that you're not a candidate. But you know what? There are, like that verse in John chapter 16, test, trials, tribulation, frustrations. I thank God for the pastor's office that just helps you keep thinking straight. You don't even know how badly you need this church. If you only knew how blessed it was for you to be a part of this church, it helps you keep thinking right. Yes, amen. Pastors won't let you start thinking stupid. Come on now. They're not going to let you fail. Not if you have ears to hear. I mean, my pastor told us, he goes, there is no less money in the earth now than there was at the most wealthiest time 10, 20, 30 years. Now the world will try to propagate that there's less money. There's not less money. Matter of fact, more money is being discovered. But the Christians get nervous. They start backing off of their giving. Because why? Because we heard it's going to get tighter and tighter. And God said, as long as there's winter, summer, come on now. Someone help me preach. What did he say? He said, seed time and harvest shall remain. Are you all in on that? Or has the devil just kind of started causing you to kind of waver and kind of shift your beliefs a little bit and wonder whether this is really all going to come to pass like we've been told for so many years? Glory to God. We know God. And He is God. And He's going to fund every project. He's going to fund every part of the vision. Ha ha ha, devil! Every part of the vision. The four R. Fully funded. Oh, I wish somebody was excited a little bit more than that. Anyway, let me get back to what I was saying. So I woke up, and I mean, I had like every demon imaginable tell me, don't you want to give up? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of the fight? Wouldn't it be nice to get out of here? And I thought, well, I can't leave Annie. I mean, she's too nice of a woman of God to leave her by herself. Plus, I don't want any other man messing with her. You know, come on. You find something that good, you know, you don't want anybody else messing with you. And so I said, you know, I can't leave. That wouldn't be fair. I mean, we have the greatest relationship on the planet, Earth. I mean, if you're married, you ought to believe that way. We honor each other. We respect one another. Do you remember your vows when you said in your vows, you honor? One of the biggest marital problems is when people stop honoring. You know, Brother Hagin was here. When Pastor Sarah comes in this room, you all honor her. And the thing is, why would you honor your husband or your wife any less? Anyways, I better get to my message. I'm trying to get to this message here. And so I woke up, and I mean, I just didn't want to live. I'm just being honest with you. I wasn't thinking about how I could get out. I just didn't want to live. It just, everything felt like such a struggle. One more project to believe God for, and it just wasn't fun anymore. And all of a sudden, I just realized, I kind of came to myself and realized, this is not God, this is the devil. And so I got up, got showered, got my clothes on. I was endeavoring to be in my right mind. How many of you believe it's good to be clothed and in your right mind? Okay, trust me, it's good to be clothed and in your right mind. So I got dressed and got out of bed. And I walked into the office, which is next door, and I heard the Holy Spirit say this. Isn't the Holy Spirit amazing? And when He talks, you know it's Him. He said, you sure have gotten quiet. Now, to a faith person, that's a strong statement. Because we know that we're satisfied by the fruit of our lips. And we know that Jesus said, not that you can have what you say. Jesus didn't say, you can have what you say. Jesus said, you will have what you say. I'll tell you, some of you ought to be glad that it's seed time and harvest and that not every one of your confessions don't immediately come to pass. I mean, some of you that's been saying, my back is killing me. I mean, can you imagine Jesus walking around and saying, one morning He wakes up, my back is killing me. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Now, we know when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, I don't know, was it the next day, within the week, whatever, they came to that fig tree, and the disciples said, Master, look, that fig tree that you cursed, it's dead, it's dried up from the roots. Now, how many say, you cut your Christmas tree down, and it takes more than a week to see that thing get brown? I've seen Christmas trees piled up for 2 months, and they still look green. But the disciples, like next few days, come, Master, look at the tree you cursed. It's dried up from the roots. And it's still in the ground and it's dried in turn. But you ought to be glad you don't get everything immediately.
Come on now. I'll tell it like it is.
Thank God you get to water it a little bit. But the word doesn't fail. It's the incorruptible seed. So the Lord said, you've been quiet. And I knew what he was saying. And he was saying, you need to kick it in the turbocharge. If you need to accelerate some harvest coming to you. You need some heart. What was discouraging was it just wasn't. I've been saying this for a long time, but it's not enough until it's more than enough. I mean, in all truthfulness, if all you have enough is enough for you and your family, that's so low. That's so cheesy. If you don't have more than enough for you and your family's needs, then that means you're not being a blessing to many other people. How many of you want to be a much greater blessing than you've been? So it's not enough until it is more than enough. And to be honest with you, it wasn't enough for me. And I was tired of it not being, you know, we know the scripture says, you know, if we give our tithes and offerings that, you know, there won't be room enough to contain. I thought, well, I'm looking forward to that, you know. Just being honest with you. But, you know, I watch what I say, though. Because, you know, they're in the end of Malachi. You know, God rebuked them for their words being stout. Well, where is the promise of the tithe? So people start backing off because they hadn't seen it by next week. I was just tired. I said, I'm just tired. But when the Holy Ghost said that, I knew I needed to get something out of my mouth and I needed to get it much more open. Because see, faith people don't sit in dark rooms and wring their hands and worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Faith people don't sit in dark rooms and wring their hands and worry about tomorrow. Faith people rejoice and they shout. And they're glad. And so I said out of my mouth, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you believe that's a pretty good verse to say? Well, I said it, and evidently I didn't say it good enough because the Holy Spirit rebuked me and he says, oh yeah, that was powerful. We felt that all the way up here. I am not, I wish, Pastor Ed, I wish that didn't happen. But it's just, how many of you know the Holy Spirit knows how to talk your language? He knows, and if you're a little sarcastic, get ready. He knows how to minister to you. And so he knew how to get my, he goes, oh yeah, that was powerful. We felt that all the way up here. You want to give another shot? And then the Holy Spirit said this, and the only way the Holy Spirit, he says, you know what? The Holy Spirit said, you know, if you really are trusting me, he said, the only thing that's left is a shout of praise. He said, if you really are in faith and you really do trust me, he said, the only thing that's left is a shout of praise. If you actually believe what I said and believe that I'll do what I said, if you actually believe my promises, if you actually believe that what you're standing on, like that song, we're standing on the promises, that the best is yet to come. And that we haven't seen the end. That we're about to enter in to that. Because we're standing on the promises. And God is not going to let his word return void, Pastor. He's not going to let his word return void. Every prophetic word, every promise, every prophet that spoke what he spoke over this ministry, every word will not be delayed. Every word will come to pass. Because God, who cannot lie, he's the one that promised. Your boss didn't make the promise. God made the promise. Our Heavenly Father made the promise. They said, the only thing that's left is a shout. That's if you believe it. That's if you actually believe it's yours. If you actually believe what you see, if you believe what you said is coming to pass, that's all that's left is a shout. Because they that put their trust in him, they rejoice, they shout, and they're glad. Hey! Hey! Glory to God! Hallelujah. So I went into my office and I sat down. I said, Lord, you know, like Mark Hankin says, faith isn't always pretty. Just like tires aren't pretty, but you still need them. Come on now.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I went in my office, and you feel embarrassed a little bit. You know, you're by yourself, your secretary's in another room, and you're going to get your praise on. It's kind of weird feeling flying solo. You're not, you know, you don't have the trumpet playing. You don't have the organ music going. You know, you don't. Do you know that your best moment in God is when you feel the most lonely? And it looks like everything's not working. Did you know that really is, when you praise God at that moment, that is your greatest hour of faith in God? Is when it looks like it's really the worst that it could possibly be. That's when, and that's what I did. I said, God, I qualify for a miracle. If I could have done something, I would have done it. Therefore, I need a miracle. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you that you do meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. And I cast all the care of this on you. I'm going to enter the I don't give a rip club. And so, Father God, I thank you that you're faithful. You always hear me when I pray, and I always have the petitions I desire of you. And I thank you that you're faithful, that promise. And I thank you that there isn't a weapon, whatever this has been, that has held back our finances. Father God, I lift my hands and I praise you that we have abundance. I thank you that we have more than enough. I thank you, God, that you're faithful, that promise, and that we're going over the top, that you will pay for everything that you've ordered. We're your children. If you took care of the birds in the sky and you put grass in the field, you said how much more mindfully you are of me because I'm your covenant child. And I thank you that you're my Father, and I know that you love me, and I know that you're going to take care of me. So I lift my hands and I praise you and I rejoice and I thank you, Lord, that it's just on the way. Ministering spirits are going to cause the money to come in. I thank you there won't be any more lack. There won't be any confusion. I thank you for abundance. I thank you for more than enough. That's what standing looks like. You know, sometimes when we say, you know, someone goes, hey, that thing you're believing for, what, how's it going? Well, I'm standing on the word. Just agree with me, brother. I'm standing on the word. I'm just standing. I mean, seriously, that's what some people think that standing looks like. Let me show you what standing really quick looks like, and we'll wrap it up right here. Look what it says here. Did you get anything tonight?
Yes.
Look what it says here. 1 Peter, look at what it says. I believe you like this. I hope it ministers to you. I hope it helps you. It has helped Annie and I. We have worked this. We've acted upon this. And that's why big money's on the way. I'm just telling you. I'm going to come back to this church and you're going to hear big money stories. Now, God's already been faithful to us and we're happy now. I mean, just... I mean, we could show you pictures. Maybe we should bring pictures and let you know, hey, wow, the Durants really are blessed. You know, we could do that. I mean, we're already blessed. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about the big stuff. I'm talking about really getting out there. I mean, like really, like major overflow. I'm talking about, you know, way out there. Look what this says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. See, this trials and tribulation and frustration, it's nothing new. This stuff that we've been up against has been in the entire body of Christ. There's been more church splits. There's been people leaving their spiritual fathers, their spiritual moms. There have been more goofy, strange, whacked out, wrong spiritual decisions on the body of Christ than there probably has ever been, at least in my lifetime. And I've been in the ministry since I was 2, and I'm 52 now. But I'll tell you what, there's been re-ranking going on in the body of Christ. And even some in this house, in this church, there's things that have been moving, things have been changing in the spirit. There's been some re-ranking, and some of you are due for great promotion. And some of you, you just might as well just go ahead and stir yourself up and just get ready for increase and bless because it's a season again. This ministry, this church, was a leader of increase and shall be so again. I'll get to something you like in just a minute. I'm just looking for the right unction here, all right? But, you know, if you didn't like that one, we'll share another one. I said, this church again will be leaders of the spirit of prosperity. See, the thing is, and now, I don't understand it all. I've talked to the Lord a little bit about it, but I don't understand this, you know, triple pastor thing necessarily myself. I don't have to, but these men of God who work under Pastor Sarah's direction, see, they have an anointing on them by association. There's things that I sowed nothing for and am reaping the benefits because I spent many times at Brother Hagin's house. Many times in the spirit with him. As many other has. A lot of the things that I've been able to do or see are things that Annie has experienced and the healing anointing and the miracle ministry that she's called to. A lot of it, now God's, you know, had her come into her own things in the miracle ministry side. But like Annie was saying earlier, Brother Hagin, I mean, we wouldn't even have a number on it how many times he called her when he would get tired and have her lay hands on people in his stead. Things happen by association. The Utterbacks, they're carriers of some major mantles, assignments, things that have been revealed that don't just get revealed to anybody. And so these pastors under the pastoring of Pastor Sarah, that don't think for a second that when you come to either one of them, you're not taking part of that anointing of as a whole that God placed on this ministry. I hope you understood what I just said. The anointing that comes by associations, am I saying this close to being right? Maybe I'm not doing a very good job of it. But the anointing there's just that anointing by association. And when God says, do it this way, when Pastor Sarah came to them and said, you're now pastors, I'm not even going to ask you, this is what you are now. It's done. And so things that have been birthed in the Spirit from years ago are here. The seeds have already been planted and are here and in the ground. And all God has to do is water one more time. One big rain.
Come on now. Come on.
Just one big rain. Our pastor has a pond out in front of his house, and I mean, we had a drought a few years ago in Georgia and Alabama. Man, we had a water watch. I mean, people weren't able to water their lawns and all kinds of water shortages all over the city. And pastor had this huge, big pond, and you know, he's thinking, man, if I could get buckets of water and try to just manually fill my pond up, I would. But, you know, I mean, it's just gotten so low. And then all of a sudden, this pond that had gotten so low, one mega rain came. One rain. One rain. One rain came and filled that sucker up to overflowing. Do you think the Holy Ghost could just cause it to rain again? Do you think there's any seeds in this place? You think there's any seeds here in New York?
Yes.
You think there's a harvest here?
Yes.
Man, I hope you all are ready for the ride. Look what it says here, verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory and revelation of Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want to close with and end with this, and I hope it blesses you. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, everyone say, yet believing.
Yet believing.
Three things you need to see here. Yet believing.
Yep.
Then secondly, it says,
come on.
You rejoice with inexpressible and full of glory. Your King James says what? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then, I don't know if you would like this next word so much or not. But somebody help me out. What does the next word say?
Receive.
Is anybody interested in the receiving part?
Yes.
So what we got is we got believing, and then we got rejoicing, and then we got receiving, the end of your faith. Believing, rejoicing, receiving, the end of your faith. Believing, rejoicing, receiving, the end of your faith. Believing, rejoicing, receiving. I'm telling you what, if the body of Christ really gets a hold of this, just like there in Psalm 67, verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee, and keep praising him. It's like the hammer that rocks, that breaks the rock in the piece. Jeremiah says, isn't my word like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? You know, Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when you're praising God and you're rejoicing with joy inexpressible, that is, in simplest terms, that is your faith being released unto God before you can see it. Mark Hankins and his wife Trina was in a meeting with a bunch of ministers, and everyone was rejoicing and praising God, and Trina saw in the spirit realm and saw some kind of a substance coming out of their mouths. While they were worshiping God, all of a sudden there was a substance coming out. She saw into the Spirit. And she told her husband, Pastor Mark, she said, Mark, I'm seeing some kind of a substance as we're praising God. There's a substance coming out of everyone's mouth. And Mark goes, what if while we're praising God, because we're releasing faith, that's what's creating the substance that's creating the thing you're believing for? Wouldn't that be so cool? Now, I don't have scripture for it, but you don't have scripture against it. What if you're praising before you see it?
Yes, come on now.
Just because you know you're in covenant with a God who's able to do anything, everything, all things possible. And before you see it, you get your praise on and you rejoice. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know exactly when he's going to do it. But I know that my God, he cannot lie. He is faithful that promise and he'll do what he said. But if I'll just believe and then go to rejoice in, he said receiving is right on the other end. Receiving is right on the other end of it. Does anybody got a shout in here like you believe God is going to do what he said? Anybody? 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 Is there anybody? You believe the word of the Lord. You believe what God said to you. Hallelujah. Everyone say believe. Say rejoice. Receive.
Receive.
One more time. Believe.
Believe.
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Receive.
Receive.
One more time.
Believe.
Believe. Rejoice.
Believe.
Receive. Just walk right into. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on, one more time. One more time.
about it. If you believe it, you can shout like it's already done. Shout before those walls come down. Shout before those walls come down. I shout before the walls come down. I'm not going to wait to shout. I'm shouting because I know they're coming down. I know the answer's on the way. I know it's mine.
Tonight.
It's mine. I got it now. It's mine. I've got it. Proverbs says, when the righteous do rejoice, the house is filled with glory. And all of my needs are met according to his riches in. And when the righteous rejoice, the house is filled with. And all of my needs are met according to his riches in. And when the righteous rejoice, the house is filled with. And all of my needs are met according to his riches in. And when the righteous rejoice, the house is filled with. Oh, someone's going to get this. You're going to get this.
Hallelujah. And it's not just in church. It's in my car. It's in when I walk into my house. It's in my car. I like to play golf, and I was on the way to a golf course because, and I really didn't want to go because I had some kind of flu symptoms all of a sudden get on me. Now, that's very unusual for me. But I just felt, you know, got the sniffles and my body felt warm. And I just didn't feel like being out and, you know, being athletic at all. But I couldn't get a hold of the person that I promised I was going to meet. So I was just going, because I didn't want to let him down, him show up, and I wasn't there. And so I'm in the car. Have you ever butt dialed anybody? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You accidentally dial your phone somehow, you sit on it or something, you know? And all of a sudden, someone's listening to you. Have you ever done that? That can be good or bad, I'm telling you right now. It can be good or bad.
No, that's right.
But I must have been sitting on my phone, Pastor Sarah, and accidentally called Annie's phone. Thank God it was her phone. And so I was in the car and I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. Lord, I thank you. I bless you. Ha, 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 ha. I'm so healed. Devil, shut up. Devil, shut up. I'm healed. I'm telling you, I'm healed. Ha, ha, ha. And I just started laughing. And Annie's at home and she's just listening to her husband get it on. I mean, I'm getting it on. I'm working it, man. I'm just working it. And I'm just thanking God and I'm praising God. Annie and I are just getting better and better at just being happy and rejoicing and being thankful and being grateful. Listen, acknowledging Him makes your faith effective. He said that your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ. Start getting happy about every single good thing. Look at every good thing that He's doing. Quit looking at what's not been working. Quit looking at things that haven't happened yet. Quit. I'm prophesying to somebody that really needs this. Stop talking about and thinking about things that you haven't seen happen just the way you want. But just start looking at every look. Oh, look. Look, Lord, you know I like olives. And that waitress put extra olives of my plate. I thank you, Lord, for those extra olives. I thank you, Lord, for that parking space. I thank God for this. I thank God. Oh, man, I didn't even know I was going to get a discount. I got to Walmart and they said, that's 30 extra percent off. Well, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for favor. Instead of looking for this problem and looking at that problem, start rejoicing. Start thanking God. And all of a sudden, it'll be like a magnet. All of a sudden, things will start happening to you. Things will start showing up to you. Things will start getting turned around for you. Things will be reversed for you. Instead of things being hard, it'll get easy because you're in a new anointing and there's a new harvest and it's just about to take place in your life.